Hey, Brian, are you a Halloween kid, a trick-or-treater kid, or are you a Harvest Party, Reformation Party kid?
I'm a confused kid. I think I did a little bit of all of it.
You're a confused adult.
I'm still a confused adult. Yeah. Okay. I was not sure by the end of my childhood what in the world was supposed to be going on there, because I think I tried a little bit of all of it.
Yeah, I had the famous hypocritical approach, you know, the fundamentalist school where we did Harvest Party, no scary costumes. And then I would go home and the next night I'd go trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to honor the Lord at school, but at home didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, we could separate the two.
But what does that have to do with the Reformation? This week is the 500th anniversary. Tomorrow is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and we tried to summarize it on Sunday morning in one sermon.
You did a great job.
Let's talk about it some more. Welcome to Rabbit Trails, where we explore Sunday's sermon for deeper theological connections and wider life applications, because you just can't say it all on Sunday.
Rabbit Trails is a ministry of Radiant Church in Austin, Texas, and today we're discussing the sermon from Sunday, October 29th, 2017, and you can listen to that sermon that Andy preached yesterday by visiting radiantaustin.com. I'm Brian Payne.
And I'm Andy Snyder.
The preacher.
And the prof. Okay, so the first question that I want us to address this morning is a concern that I have just for the hearts of our people. And in the sermon where we went through the five solas, right, the five principles that came out of the Reformation, those were set against the backdrop of Catholic doctrine. And the first question I think we should address is, so what's so awful about Roman Catholicism? Were we Catholic bashing? Yesterday, bashing is a big, you know, political kind of word, and we don't want to be so concerned about political correctness, but we do want to project the love of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
In what we do. So let's put some perspective on that.
Yeah, in a day of talk of hate speech and bashing and all these things, it is important for us to make sure that we don't minimize the seriousness of what we're talking about, okay? So that would be a train wreck if we just like, well, yeah, hey, it's not a big deal. I mean, I do think you were right in what you said yesterday, Andy. I see that from the Word of God, but it's not really that big an issue. Let's just chill. Well, no. It's a massive issue because we're talking about the eternity of people's souls, right? Yeah. So eternal damnation is, I would argue, the most important thing. However, when it's so serious, and now I get to turn into this mean, angry, or arrogant person who's going around smashing people, that is not helpful. So yeah, I hope that these things stirred everybody and warmed their hearts with a compassion and a love for others,
yeah,
whether they be Catholic or anything else, to say, I want them to know of the love of Christ.
Yeah, so the first question is, how do we approach? And at the very end, I try to point to that by saying we need to love our Catholic family and friends and neighbors. We need to extend the love of Jesus Christ to them so that we have the opportunity to speak more gospel truth. And if God grants us, you know, the ability or the opportunity to begin to argue these things, we can do so with a great deal of love and out of a genuine concern for their souls, knowing that it's only God who can change a heart, who can turn and, you know, transform somebody on the inside. But we want to be faithful. And that brings up the second question, right? Which is, okay, well, that may be true, but gosh, it's really uncomfortable to say these things. And besides, they sort of, you know, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so aren't they saved? I mean, they worship the same Jesus that we do. Let me frame the question this way. Is it possible for a person to come to faith in a Roman Catholic church, in a Roman Catholic environment?
Yeah, it's a great question that I know we were asked on Sunday. I've been asked so many different times. I've had to process. And here's the way that I have responded to that. There are people who are Christians in the Catholic Church, right? You can be a Christian in the Catholic Church. You cannot be a Christian and believe what the Catholic Church believes.
That's a good distinction.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the way that I've separated out in my mind. And I do believe that the longer that somebody's a Christian, the less likely it is that they would be able to stay. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. How do you answer that?
The way that I tend to think of it is because the Roman Catholic message does contain the message of Jesus dying as our substitute, of God offering the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection to us through grace. But there are some fundamental perversions in how that's applied to us and so forth. So what I tend to say is, yes, it's possible for somebody to meet Christ and to meet Christ savingly in a Roman Catholic environment. But if you become a genuine Christian in a Roman Catholic environment, you're going to be an increasingly bad Catholic. Mm. Because like you said, you're going to, if you're, you know, faithful to be reading and studying God's word and praying and submitting to the Spirit's work in your life, you're eventually going to see that there are some serious errors.
Yeah.
So all things being equal, I think it's safe to say that there's enough of the gospel there for God to bring a sinner to salvation. But I think in bringing that sinner to salvation, he's eventually going to bring that person out of the Catholic
Church. I've met people like this that I really do think have a saving understanding of Jesus Christ. When I talk to them, what I find is they're actually, the Lord has graciously allowed them to be confused about what the Catholic Church teaches, right? So I ask them what they teach, and they're actually telling me, they're like, yeah, but that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. Mm. So I'm glad that you misunderstand what your church teaches.
Yeah.
But I want to go back real quick when you were talking about the way we approach other people. The last thing on the planet I want is for our church family to be known as those people that go to their workplace or that everyone at Christmas is like, oh, I do not want them to be here. They're so hard to deal with because all they want to do is sit here and argue with me about salvation's by grace. And the irony when we become those people like, no, it's by grace. No, I want you to know about Jesus' love. Right. You're like, wow, really?
A lot of grace happening there.
Yeah, lots of grace. Yeah. Everybody's so glad to see you coming along and smashing them with grace.
Yeah. Okay, so I hope everybody gets the contradiction there.
Yep.
And I know, by the way, I can tell, even though I didn't talk to them afterwards, I could see people in our congregation that I know are ex-Catholic. And I could tell, during our sermon, there's sort of a pained expression on their face. They're acknowledging, this is true. The heart of compassion they have for people who are still in that world. So let's not bash Catholics or the Catholic system. Let's simply live out the love and the grace of the gospel.
Yes.
And take every opportunity we can to graciously communicate it.
Amen.
So we have, we're starting to get questions coming in from listeners. And
thank you for those questions.
I am so excited about that. We're having people that are emailing them in. You can email them to podcast@radiantaustin.com. And we also have a phone number. You can text questions in to 512-489-6690.
And not only questions, but even things that were connections that the Lord made for you between what we taught and something else in Scripture, or just how the Lord encouraged you, challenged you, convicted you. All those are great.
Yeah. So another question that we had this week, I'm just going to read it because it was worded really well. The listener said, what theological blind spots or errors do we see in the Western evangelical church today? Are there new solas and new reforms that we should pursue and pray for? That's a really perceptive question, and I'm really glad to see people thinking this way, because they're concerned. Maybe this person doesn't have a lot of Catholic friends or Catholic family, but he's concerned about our church, and rightly so. So, what do you think about that?
I think it's a fantastic question, because there are always going to be attacks against the truth, right? Yeah. I mean, whenever we think about the evil one and his work, we want to think about these grotesque, evil things that we see in our world. Listen, the enemy, when it comes to the church, wants to go after the slight manipulations of the gospel. Yeah. And so I think in our culture, what we see, especially here in Austin, is what we would call syncretism, right? And it's kind of piecemealing different things together. Like, I love the Bible and I'm all for Jesus and we're a Christian church, but then we're going to pick out other spiritual things and mixing in other religions or other things that maybe I just experienced and I felt on my walk one day.
Because I'm a spiritual person, man. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we can't just limit it, man. How boxed in is it to only look at Scripture? Let's bring these other things. Let's get a blender and put all this good stuff together.
Yeah. I'm also thinking of the temptation that we have in the churches, in evangelical churches, to try to draw people in. Mm-hmm. We want to use marketing techniques and, programs. There's a term that people use for it. They call it attractional. the temptation for a church to be an attractional church, where we're trying to attract people in with various kinds of methods and gimmicks that are not primarily the gospel.
Yes.
And then once we get them in, we tend to entertain them. Give them a show, right. And, you know, I love it that there are people that come to Radiant Church because they love the worship here. They love the music that we have. They love our services. But they know that we know that they know. How's that?
It's a lot of knowing.
That we're not here to entertain them. Yep. They're here because they love that we want to worship God. We want to do it with as much excellence as we can put together. But the main thing is not to put on a show in order to keep people coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think maybe what's shaping up here is that we're not talking about new solas.
No.
We're talking about new applications of the same five solas.
Yeah, ways that why we need to get back to those solas over and over and over
Scripture
again.
Scripture alone, right? And not syncretism. It's not what I think. It's not what resonates with my, you know, with my soul. It's what Scripture says.
I would take that last one to the glory of God alone, and I think that goes with your last one, that we're making it all about trying to grow a church really big and making a name for ourselves in town, around the country, around the world.
Yeah.
But I also would say that another big attack against all this is we want to add a sola that is me and Jesus alone. Right, I think that's where a lot of people are. And if you're listening,
I'm not sure what the Latin is for that.
Yeah. I don't know the Latin, but I don't think there is any Latin. It should be in American because it's a total American concept.
Yeah.
So everybody at our church right now is like, oh, here he goes again down that trail. I am just so passionate against this whole maverick Christian mentality, right? And again, if you've got the footprints in the sand picture, that's great. I'm fine. But my whole thing is, I love that Jesus carried you, but we should still see millions of footprints through the sand, and Jesus was carrying all of us, but we were doing it together. We love the thought of being all alone. And so I would say the problem is you go against the glory of God alone because you make it, the glory of God is wrapped up in you. And it's all about you.
Hmm.
And so I think that's another area we have to be very, very careful.
Yeah, if we could grasp what it means And if you haven't heard the sermon, I hope you'll listen at least to the last few minutes when we got to Soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. Brian, I can't tell you how struck I was, how overwhelming it was as I was thinking, how could I summarize this? And I just did a simple search in my Bible software on the glory of God in the New Testament. And there were just dozens and dozens of references that cover every aspect of what I think and feel and believe. Covers the past, the present, and the future. And if we could just grasp that the salvation we've been given in Christ is for His glory, it's not primarily for my benefit. And as people like John Piper have spent a career, you know, talking about, when I give all the glory to God, the benefit to me is the maximum.
Yes.
Right? God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. I think there's a lot of truth there. It's all for His glory. So when I wake up in the morning and, you know, and my allergies here in Austin are killing me.
Ugh.
And there's something you can relate to. I'm trying to use an illustration.
I'm feeling it right
here.
Now, man.
Yeah. And I can, you know, get out of bed and say, this is miserable. I don't want to get out of bed. How can I do this for the glory of God? God has given me this moment to glorify Him with. Even those simple, mundane things like that, all the way through the day, it's all for His glory.
Yes.
That transforms the way we think about everything.
It transforms the way that I think about things. It changes the way that I feel. And I love that one of the things that was submitted to us of saying how this person was struck by the fear that Luther had because he didn't know what his eternal state would be and how long would purgatory and has he done enough penance and on, but was saying, but they were convicted because even though they know the truth of Christ, they don't find themselves resting in Christ like they should. Like, we know the truth, but just because we know the truth doesn't mean that we're setting our hearts and minds upon it. And so I love that because that is the connection. Like, okay, great. I agree with everything that you said, Andy. I saw it in God's word. I believe it. The question today is, so now what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, yeah.
Praise God. He preserved the truth for us. Now what?
Yeah, right. And so the understanding that salvation is by grace alone, it's a gift from God that we didn't earn, and it's acquired or it's received by faith alone, that it's not anything I did to receive it, then gives me this transforming perspective that I can say, okay, now life, I'm going to live this life by faith. Galatians 2:20, right? I've died. I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I'm alive. But it's not me. It's Christ who's alive in me. And so I live this life by faith in him.
But then that brings a question that was submitted to us. If I've been saved in Christ and the work is finished, then why do I still sin? That's great.
That's awesome. We could do another whole podcast on that and more. I don't think we will this week. Yeah. But, well, there's plenty of Ephesians yet to come.
Yes, and we'll end up more Ephesians. But that is the reality. Okay, I believe what you said because, again, I saw it in Scripture. I believe that, and I'm going to rest in that today. Why in the world am I still sinning if Christ's work is finished? What do you say to that?
Well, the work that needed to be done in order for the penalty of my sin to be paid so that I could be right with God and be received into his presence, okay? That work has been done. The penalty has been paid by the perfect sacrifice and has been offered by our great high priest, both of whom are Jesus Christ, the sacrifice and the high priest. So his work is finished. Hebrews 10 says that unlike the Old Testament priests, you know, who were never able to sit down, they were always working, Jesus, the great high priest, when he had made this one offering of himself, he sat down at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
So the work of overcoming condemnation and bringing this gift of eternal life to me, that work is done.
Mm-hmm.
But the application of that work, once I receive it by faith, that work is an ongoing work of transformation in my soul. So much of the New Testament is about exactly this question.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wrestles with it in various places.
Positionally, God has made me right with him. Positionally, he sees me holy in Christ, right? Like, this is the new position I have. And reality is, I have now been set free from being a slave of my sin, but it doesn't mean that I no longer have a desire to sin.
Yeah.
So now God has positionally said, you are my child, perfect, holy, a royal priesthood, right? Like, you're set apart in me. He's like, now the Holy Spirit's going to live in you and actually make you in practice who you are positionally. And that's showing the power of Christ at work as he grows us more and more.
Yes, that's awesome. And to address the specific, like the narrow point of the question, even like, why do I sin? I think the overall message of the New Testament, particularly Paul's letters, is that the fact that we still sin is connected to the fact that we are still in this fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
And the bodies that we have now that are a part of who we are a part of this fallen world. Someday we're going to have a glorified body. God made us to be embodied creatures. And so we will have a body in the future, but it's going to be a different kind, a body with different qualities, and we won't be able to sin in the future once we've died and Jesus has come and the new heavens and the new earth and so forth. But for now, we are a part of a broken world. We are foreigners in this worldly kingdom, right? We're sojourners temporarily here. This world is not my home.
Waiting to go home.
I'm just a passing through.
Okay, before you start singing, I'm going to have to stop you there. We don't need a song. But I do have a question. I don't know if, like, total rabbit trail off of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this whole confessional booth. And I got to admit, like, I've never been in one. I don't know. I've seen pictures and read a little bit. But
now, you're going to start Catholic bashing, aren't you? The Bible says, confess your sins to one another. It says that.
Hold on. Right. Easy. Okay. You just talked about, like, Hebrews 10. You mentioned in your message yesterday that Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he has made a sacrifice, right? It's done, right? So we don't need a mediator. And I just thought to myself, the confessional booth and the way it's set up alone, like, one, I'm having to go to this man to mediate between me and God. That's already a problem. But then there's this wall, this veil, this everything that's this separation even between you and this guy who's going to mediate for you. And I'm like, it seems so weird. And he's sitting down, but Christ is the one who's seated down. But he's the one who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who has power and forgiveness. And why is there a veil or any blocking? Again, I'm sure there might be some really practical answers, like safety or something. But I'm like, no, Christ, like, the veil was torn. Direct access to God through Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I don't know. My sense, just from knowing other Catholic doctrine, is that that's probably not the case, but I've never really researched the confessional booth. That'd be an interesting Google search.
Well, I don't
just
think,
check your sources.
I don't think people want to sit on this podcast while I research that.
No,
so
it's not.
I guess I'll have to go find some research time.
And bring that back sometime.
And maybe bring it back sometime. But hey, hope that today's been helpful and hope that you will apply the truths that we've learned. May these solas not stand alone and not be applied to your life.
Let's live them.
Let's live them out. So hey, hope to have you back next week. I'm Brian Payne.
I'm Andy Snyder.
The Preacher.
And the Prof.
Happy trails, everybody.